So the typical church greeting on this day is, "He is risen." To which the body responds, "He is risen indeed." Those of you that know me know I'm not what you might call a traditional person. I'm a firm believer that we need to celebrate the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ every day. Because every day the tender mercies of God are fresh and new. Every day is reason to rejoice. Every day we are bought with a price. Every day we are His. If we only celebrate things one day a year, we're missing out on a whole bunch. But He is risen. He said He would. Scripture said He would. The prophecies all laid out. In John 10, beginning with verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down by myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Obviously, Jesus has not gone to the cross yet when He's making this statement. So you know, the disciples are like, "What in the world is He talking about?" Because we see a lot of times Jesus says, "I'm going to be crucified, and 3 days later rise from the dead." And Scripture says, "And they pondered among themselves what risen from the dead should mean." We have the advantage of looking at Scripture from 2,000 years after the fact. We also have the advantage of looking at this, knowing that God has touched us and changed our lives. I praise God I am not the person that I used to be. My wife praises God I'm not the person that I used to be. And has told me often, if she knew me then, she would not know me now. Praise God. But Jesus says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And He says, "I lay my life down. I lay it down myself. No one takes it from me. And if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again." He declared this was going to happen. So in Luke 24, after the crucifixion, after he's laid in a borrowed tomb, Luke 24, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered His words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened." We go through the Gospels and we see where Jesus has told them time and time again, He's going to be crucified, He's going to be put to death, He's going to rise again. And they didn't understand. And when it happened, they still didn't put it together. Later they did. This very evening, Jesus shows up in the midst while they're all in the upper room. He appeared to the two men on the road to Emmaus. The different things that happened on the way as Jesus declared who He was, showing who He was, that He had risen, tells us in, I think it's in Acts, where He appeared to 500 people at one time. So He was seen out and about, and they knew He had been put to death. But he was absolutely arose. And they had the witnesses. Chuck Colson, I think it's Chuck Colson, says that Watergate proved to him that the resurrection was real. Because of Watergate, the people couldn't maintain a lie because of fear of personal consequences of going to prison. He said, but these 11 people and the other disciples all went through torture, all were persecuted. And if it hadn't been real, they had ample opportunity to recant their story. And they never did. They went to their death knowing that Jesus was risen, knowing that Jesus had gone up to ascended to the Father, and knowing that Jesus was coming back. It's all through Scripture. Knowing that. As they lived out their lives with that fact embedded in their being, that He is risen, that we don't serve a God who cannot take care of people, who cannot raise people from the dead, who cannot do any of these things, but has demonstrated who He was by His word. He told us in John 10 before the resurrection. He tells us in Luke 24 after the resurrection. And here in John 15, beginning with verse 11. So this is after He's risen from the dead. He's talking to the disciples. John 15, beginning with verse 11, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Having shown that He loved them enough to lay down His life to redeem their lives from destruction, Jesus had told Peter, back before He was crucified, He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And after you are converted, go back and strengthen the brethren." He didn't say you're not going to fall. He didn't say you're not going to have difficult times. He didn't say you're not going to come up short. He said, when you get up, go back and strengthen the brethren. Each and every one of us, we go through situations in our life. We go through testings and trials, and sometimes we succeed and sometimes we royally fail. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. The same Jesus who raised up from the dead, who converted our lives and is changing us from glory to glory, is there with us, guiding us, and says, go back and strengthen the brethren once you're converted, once your life has changed, once you have gone through the other side. In the middle of prayer earlier, I talked about how we are supposed to comfort others with the comfort that we have been given. I praise God I'm not the person that I used to be. People that call me Andy is three categories. Those who have known me for over 30 years. Those who are so old I got tired of correcting. And those who are desiring a more intimate relationship than what we currently have. That's the only people that call me Andy. Generally, that last one is enough to scare people off when I say that's... But people who have known me way back then know the conversion that has taken place in my life. Where I have old, former shipmates, old Navy buddies who says, wait a minute, you are a preacher? Because they recognize what God has done in my life. I am resurrected. I have a new life because He lives. The other song, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He says, now if Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Paul says, if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins. There's been no change. But Christ is risen from the dead. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life has changed because I come to know the true and living God. My life has changed because I recognize that when I was still dead in trespasses of sins, while I was still yet without hope, Christ died for me. And has changed me, given me a new life, given me a new attitude, giving me a new understanding, and is continuing to work in me to show his grace and love and mercy. Praise God. Praise God, I'm not the person that I used to be. Final passage, Romans 5, beginning with verse 1. Says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop right there for just a minute. Being justified by faith, knowing that he is who he says he is. He has shown it. He has proved it in my life. He has proved it in the lives of so many people that I know. And he is faithful in all of his ways. He pays attention to the things going on around us. Jesus said, for every idle word a man will speak, he'll give an account. He's paying attention to my words. God, it says in the Minor Prophets that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for one person whose heart is stayed on him that he might show himself strong on that behalf, on their behalf. That's not in the Minor Prophets. That's in 2 Chronicles. But the other one, the one I was thinking of, is that every time we think upon his name, it's written in the book. God pays attention to our thoughts. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible tells us about itself. And Jesus is the word of God made flesh, paying attention to the things go on in our lives, knowing the wickedness in my heart, the wickedness in your heart, yet loved us so much that he took our penalty. He took our punishment and imparts to us his righteousness. Back to the scripture. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we believe upon his name, because we trust in him, he imparts us to his righteousness and reconciles us to the Father. Verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can face whatever comes because of what he has done on our behalf. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Wait a minute. No matter what comes, God is with us. No matter what we face, we are not alone. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise God. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, he's working in us. And just like silver and gold are refined by the turning up of heat and the turning up of pressure, our own faith is refined with the things that we go through. As it just says, tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Praise God, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved through His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus laid down His life. He said, I lay it down and I have the ability to take it up again. I have this from my Father. He said, no one takes my life from me. When facing Pilate, Pilate says, don't you care that I can have you killed? I can have you crucified. Jesus said, you would have no power over me except my Father gave it to you. He willingly went. He willingly laid down His life. The old song, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. But He died alone. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. He laid down His life and took it up again as God had given Him the ability, the authority to do it. Raised Him on the third day. The angel said, He's not here, He's risen. He showed Himself to the disciples. Back in John 15, He says, as I have loved you, you ought to love one another. So we read in 1 Corinthians that Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who sleep. The testimony, our lives are changed because of what He's done. Here in Romans, it says no matter what we face, He is still with us. He is risen. My life is not my own. My life belongs to Him. I am bought with a price. You are bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ, who laid down His life to pay the price for my sin and yours. And He took His life up again that He might display His righteousness, that He might display who He is, that He is indeed God made flesh. Scripture says He's an advocate. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. As we go through this life, we have His grace and mercy guiding us. That voice behind us that says, this is the way, walk in it. That one that directs our steps and guides our circumstances as we keep our eyes open and we see the things going on around us. Maybe you're having a conversation with somebody, just asking questions or whatever you're doing, just having a conversation. And all of a sudden, like a song will come on the radio that answers exactly what you were talking about. Or in the situation where Pastor Howard was getting ready to retire, and he told me to either take over the church or we closed the doors, and Deb and I were driving around talking about it and listening to the radio, and the preacher says, you know what God called you to do? Stop goofing off and do it. Now, it wasn't a live that moment broadcast. It was something that had been recorded before and just happened to play right as we were talking about it. Because God is the one who's directing our steps. God is the one who's putting things in place. God is the one who's leading us. And there's evidence all around us that we serve a risen Lord. He lives. He is risen. And because of that, I can face tomorrow. I can face whatever comes. Because He has shown Himself mighty on my behalf. And He's not going to allow anything to come into my life that doesn't come through His hands. And if it comes through His hands, He knows all about it. He's not surprised by it. And He's already promised to cause all things to work together for good. Paul said, read so many versions, I forget how it's worded. But I'm in a conflict. I'm in a quandary. Which one to choose? To be with you would be better for you. But to go to be with the Lord would be pretty sweet. That's the real New English translation, by the way. I'm at a quandary. Which way do I go? He says, I will be here with you until the Lord takes me home. Jim Elliot, missionary, killed on the mission field, going to a tribe of headhunters, said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. The things we have committed into the hand of the Lord, we can't keep them anyway. But God can, and God does. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You have redeemed our lives from destruction, that we have that assurance, that peace, and that knowing in the fact that because He lives, I can face whatever comes. Because He lives, my life is not my own. Because He lives, I am reconciled to You. Give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.